It does. It can. But then, me being the BFF chef, budgeted fabulous food is what the BFF stands for. I will take that $3, bottle of olive oil and make it taste like a $40 bottle of olive oil, only because you have to take what you can afford to make it better.
What's going down? What's going down? It's your boy T. Cole. And this is The Outnumbered Effect. Today, we have a very special guest, Happy Joe Lucky, a.k.a. BFF Chef. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I really appreciate you coming today.
Well, thank you for having me.
X will be joining us shortly, but we're going to get stuff started.
Okay.
Man, I love food. I love food.
How can you not love food?
Man, if I didn't, I probably would be anorexic. But I love food, and I love having you on. You are our first guest.
Thank you.
That's a chef. So
thank you so much. I feel privileged, like totally privileged.
Yeah, that's fire. And I love you even more now because finding out that you're from where I'm from.
Come on, Jersey.
East Coast.
Yes.
East Coast. Let's go, baby.
All day.
I love it. I love it. I knew you were cool. So, who taught you how to cook?
Wow. To be honest, I would have to say it runs through the blood. My father cooks. I grew up with my dad owning a restaurant. Actually, it was named after me.
Oh,
Jovan,
wow.
Soul Food at its finest.
Nice.
Only reason is because my name is my parents' names combined.
Mm.
And then my siblings, we all have J names. So it just all works. But it all started out with, working in my dad's restaurant. We didn't really have the girls cooking all that much. It was him and my brother. And my dad noticed how I just, watched all the time, always watching. So he let me start out making cornbread. And to this day, I can tell you, I do make a pretty good cornbread.
So from scratch, you make your cornbread? No
yes.
Jiffy over here?
Sometimes you got to add a little Jiffy if you're doing it quick, but then you have to add everything else to it. Just like I always say, you take a base of something and then you have to add your own flavor to it. You have to know what is going to go with what. It's all how things taste in your mouth. I know that could sound weird.
Hey, but we're talking about cornbread, guys. Get
yes.
your mind out the gutter. Get
totally.
Your mind out the gutter.
Get it in that bread.
Nah, that's dope, though. I'd probably say that out of all the stuff that comes out of a box, Jiffy's probably the only thing where you'd be like, all right, I got to go with the Jiffy. Because people can fuck up cornbread. I've had some fucked up cornbread before. People put
so
in bell peppers in there and the cornbread and all that, and I'm cool with just some regular cornbread. Maybe some jalapeno here and there, you know what I mean?
That.
Some
I
sweet
that.
Jalapeno, but I'm fine with just the regular old-fashioned cornbread.
Well, in my cornbread, I actually add corn to it.
Okay.
And then I like cheese stuff.
So I've had that before.
Definitely add some corn and some cheese.
I don't think anyone's going to be mad at you if you add cheese, unless you're lactose intolerant.
Well, then take a pill.
Yeah. Hey, you got to, man. There's
right?
just too much
cheese
good stuff.
Cheese is love.
It really is.
I always say I'm married to two things, cheese and bacon.
Hey.
All day.
No pork on my fork. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm fucking with you. I'm sorry. That was a joke.
No, no.
I love
I
me some
understand.
Bacon. Like Chris Rock said, hey, I'll eat a pig's ass if you cook it right.
True. Some pork butt is good, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For real, for real. So you learned from your parents, or really your dad.
My dad, as well as my mom. My mom is actually a really great chef.
So who's better, moms or pops?
See.
They're going to listen to this, too, so don't lie. Don't lie.
See, and I'm not going to, because I feel like lying is a job, and if I'm not getting paid for it, why do it?
Hey.
But when it comes to certain foods now, my mom, some other pork chops, oh my gosh, will make you want to slap down your family tree. Like, all the way to the roots.
Woo.
And her mac and cheese is bomb, too. But now my dad, his fried chicken. And I don't even really eat chicken. But his fried chicken, though, is on point.
Mm.
Yes. And then I also have to thank my grandmothers and stuff for cooking the way they did. Growing up in the Depression, they taught me how to take some of the, most things that you would never want to use and use those and make those taste good, too. So, yeah.
So, you didn't really answer my question. You said you said some stuff that your dad makes that you like, and you said some stuff that your mom makes. I'm putting you out there. I'm throwing you under the bus. Is it mom's or is it pop's?
See, that's why I'm saying it's like it matters on the food.
But all right. So you waking up. Well, I'm not even going to say that.
Breakfast?
You taking one person with you, and you're like, all right, I broke
dad.
My. All right, you know what? Your hands are broken, and you can't make anything. Who's making something for you? Who Dad. Are you asking? Dad, there you Dad. Go. I got my answer.
It is.
Hey, it's all good, though.
Not saying moms can't cook, because she can't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because my dad be cooking his ass off, too, but I'm going to go with my mom's. My dad's fire with it, too. He's really the one that showed me how to cook. But I know what you mean. It's hard, because they both make certain things that you like, man.
My dad, he made soul food. Like, our restaurant was a soul food restaurant growing up. So.
Is it in Jersey?
It was actually in Connecticut. I grew up in between New Jersey and Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So all your cooking experience came from your family. No culinary school at all for you, or was it just all from them?
I would honestly say I have not gone to culinary school. I've taken a few cooking classes. I'm actually, starting on Thursday, we'll be taking a Turkish cooking class.
Oh, wow.
Just to, you know, feel out something different, something new. But other than watching different television shows, my brother's an executive chef at a restaurant in Connecticut, and watching what he does with his food and things like that, food has just always been something that my family has based our life around in a way, so.
I mean, food is love.
It is.
Food really is love.
It is.
And, you know, if you really care about somebody, sometimes you show love by making them food or
Definitely.
Baking them something. And it's just amazing to me how far food can really just take you sometimes.
It really can. I mean, for me, I've lost over 180 pounds.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. In a little over 2 years or whatnot. And so my new love for food is different than my love for food before.
Mm.
Before, food was more of an emotional thing. I cooked that way to, like, try to ease how I felt about something. Now I'm having more fun with food because food isn't my go-to type of a deal.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. That's a real good way of looking at it. So when you were being motivated to, like, lose all that weight and everything, did you just completely just change up your eating habits, or you just stop eating as much? Because some people just really overeat. I think that's where a lot of just weight issues coming from, and then eating pretty late. Like, I got an issue with eating sweets. I eat sweets before I go to bed.
That's my mom's.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot better. I used to make cookies every day before I went to bed, and just having some type of cookie or some type of cake. Every now and then I catch myself getting a cupcake or something from this cupcake spot
some tasty cakes.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
All that.
Yeah. For me, actually, my whole weight loss start journey started because I got really sick.
Okay.
I have a very rare condition called abdominal migraines. So instead of my migraine being in my head, it's in my stomach. Mm. And not to be gross or anything, it makes you upchuck a lot type of a deal.
Okay.
So that was, like, the start of it. And so from there, I had to realize, you know, when I need to eat, how I need to eat, what kind of foods. Like, me, I'll eat anything. It's just my portion control. Definitely.
That's a lot of people's problem, honestly. I mean, you go overseas, going to other places, their portions are
a lot smaller
than what we have.
Yes.
Definitely. for sure. So has there been – I think it's dope, though, that you're self-taught, because – we live in a world now where it's real accessible. If you want to learn something, you can really just go out there and go learn it. You don't have to necessarily go to a school. You don't have to go sit in the classroom. A lot of people are watching YouTube, doing stuff online, learning things. And, like, being self-taught is, like, one of the most amazing things you can do, because being able to teach yourself, create, and then give back and show people what you've done.
Yes.
Like, to me, that's more like one of the most amazing feelings, like, ever.
One of my favorite things is actually to watch people eat when I cook.
Oh, wow.
That joy on their face, just, like, literally any troubles I have just melt right away. Because I know that I just, you know, made somebody happy. Their taste buds jump up and dance. So,
I mean, that's your baby right there.
It is.
It's almost like, you know, you design some clothes and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see people rocking my stuff that
right,
I bought.
Definitely.
I mean, that I made, you know, my logo.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel, definitely. So were there any chefs that inspire you now, like when you cook, or were you really just inspired from your pops and the restaurant?
Honestly, my brother is, like, one of my biggest inspirations. He makes this, it's called a peanut butter and jelly chicken wing.
Peanut butter and jelly chicken wing.
Oh my goodness. He, like, infuses all this stuff. Like, it literally is like being kicked in the mouth with a whole bunch of flavor, but you like that feeling of being kicked, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's absolutely delicious. And some of the things that he'll put together, I'm always like, how did you do this? Like, you inspire me to want to do more with what I do. So I would honestly have to say my brother is, like, my biggest inspiration.
That's fire. All coming from the family, too.
Yeah.
And the best thing about it is you don't gotta wait for Gordon Ramsay to post something. You can just be like, true. Hey, bro, show me how you did this. Help me get better.
So he's like, well, why don't you go look it up for yourself?
That's so funny. That's mad funny. Are there any dishes that you haven't mastered yet that you've been trying to master that you just want to... That you're still just like, I don't want to cook it for you yet, but I think it could be better.
There's a thousand of dishes. I want to do fried rice, right? Mm. Like, to me, I always just put just a little too much soy sauce or something that, like, it just doesn't taste like a good old East Coast fried rice, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you don't find that here in Texas like you find it out there.
Oh,
at all.
You already know, man. Chinese food is so much better up top. So it's like when you eat seafood, it's going to be better up top there, mm-hmm. too. But Tex-Mex... They got you covered.
Yeah,
they
definitely.
Got you covered here.
Definitely. Since I moved to Texas, I've learned more about the taco and what to do with the taco and, like, how to master those, you know, Mexican flavors and things like that, because I'm more with the soul food or Italian food, things like that. So
you'd say out of all the, you know, types of foods, you say soul food would be your favorite?
Honestly, no, it's Italian food.
Same. Yeah. That's mine, too. That's why I said it. I was thinking about my favorite, and I was asking you yours, but Italian and seafood for me. I think it's just the East Coast thing, man.
I grew up
around a lot of Italians.
Yes.
I had a lot of Italian friends growing up, so I go to their house. Mom, oh, you want some baked ziti? I'm like, oh, baked ziti, huh? And then it's real garlic knots, not like out here.
No.
And it's just like a roll of bread with like a dash of garlic. It's like,
no.
Nah, bruh, that's not
no,
a garlic
I'm good.
Knot.
It's not a garlic knot at all.
So you know.
Definitely.
So you know. I got like maybe twice getting a garlic knot from a pizza spot in Austin. I'm like, no more will you get me on a garlic knot. Just like I told myself, I will not buy a poor boy anymore unless I'm in New Orleans. Because I had one from New Orleans. And then, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 4 months later, I went to this spot at the Domain, and they had poor boys. I was like, oh, I was hungry. I was eating with my eyes. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this. You know what? Let me get a poor boy, too. And I was so disappointed. So I will no longer get a poor boy unless I'm in New Orleans. I won't even get one from Popeyes.
Okay. I was about to say, Specs has a pretty good shrimp po' boy.
Specs?
Uh-huh. The one over there by the Domain.
I didn't even know Specs sold food.
Yeah.
I'm not a big drinker, so I don't really go in there too often like that.
I get it.
But yeah, that's cool, though.
I like to go in there
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to check that out. But I'll go in there to see what food they have, but I'm not going to eat the po' boy.
I'm like, ooh. Maybe Uber might bring it to you.
From New Orleans?
I don't think that far. You know, that price might be just way too high, though.
I'm better off taking a trip and getting it. It might even be cheaper.
Right? Definitely.
That's funny. So still trying to master. So fried rice will probably be one of those things you're trying to master.
Yes.
What's another dish that you're like, all right, I don't want to make it for anybody just yet?
A risotto.
Risotto's hard, man.
It is. It really is.
I only
is.
Tried like once, and I never tried again, to be honest.
It's really
difficult. My ex-sister-in-law, shout out to Callie.
Ooh.
Still love you. She made some fire-ass risotto.
Did she?
Like, yeah. She made some really, really good risotto. I don't even think I ever had a risotto until she made it.
Okay.
For me and my brother. And I was like, this isn't rice, but it looks like rice. What is this? Oh, it's risotto. Ah, okay. Because I love me some rice.
I get it. I grew up with, you know, a lot of Jamaicans and Puerto Ricans and stuff like that. So rice was always around. And like, I get tired of rice. But a risotto is different than, like, any kind of rice, though.
Thing about rice is there's just so many different types of rice, though. You just can't play yourself out with white. Because I love me some basmati and jasmine.
Yo, jasmine.
Jasmine's
is
my
bae.
Favorite. It's my favorite type of rice, for sure, for sure.
Well, I have to say, food is definitely my mistress, so.
You got a main bitch?
So we ain't going to say no names, though.
I got you.
But she might be listening. Shout out to you.
I don't want to throw anybody out there. You know. So, do you have an absolute favorite dish that you like to make? Like your go-to?
My go-to is always pasta.
Pasta.
Pasta is always my go-to. And I would have to say my Alfredo is my go-to sauce. I'm working on right now like a good carbonara. And things like that. But yeah, my Alfredo. I actually brought some for you to try it too.
Ooh, man, I can't wait to try that. We're gonna definitely dip into that in a little bit. I'll wait till X comes.
Uh-oh.
I don't wanna eat it without him. I'll mess around and eat his too if it's too good. But
well, I brought both, so both can have some.
That's why I said I'll eat both. If it's too good. I was like, let me wait for my mans to get here before I start dipping into some food. But pasta, though, it's definitely challenging to make sometimes. It I mean, because you can make it, but everyone's pasta's not going to taste the same. You can overcook pasta. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some pasta sometimes can be too dry. Like, I like mine to be, like, moist and, like, not, like, soaking wet. But you know what I mean.
No,
you're a chef.
I get you.
Because back to Cali again, I felt like some of the best pasta I ever had was some pasta that my ex-sister-in-law used to make. She used to make some fire pasta. So anytime I would go over there, I would always be happy that she was making some type of pasta dish.
That's
what's up. Pasta's just fire. Like,
it
those
really
carbs,
is,
man. Those
it
carbs.
Is. It is. I'm not a bread person, but I'm a pasta person. So give me pasta all day.
You know, I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of fell off bread. I used to always have bread with, like, every meal when I was younger. But now it's just, like, I can go days. And I'm like, oh, shit. I haven't had any bread in a minute. Only time I'm eating it is, like, a sandwich. You know, I'm going to, like, a fast food spot, and I'm getting something. But lately, I've just been getting tenders. You know what I mean?
I so get you.
The bread, it's a love-hate relationship for a lot of us, you know,
definitely.
Especially when you're trying to lose weight.
Don't tell me. I rolled my eyes. Y'all couldn't see that, but.
That's too funny. So, as a personal chef now, are there any, like, nutritional values that you like to abide by? Like, for the people that you're cooking for, or are you kind of just doing whatever?
Definitely. I'm one who has a lot of food allergies. So I'm always asking, like, what are you allergic to? What can you handle? So that I don't want everyone to have to live the Benadryl life.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's definitely best to know exactly, you know, their food parameters and things like that. So
yeah, I personally, I don't know of anything that I'm allergic to. I haven't ran into it yet, knock on wood.
That's
but,
good.
But I know how it is when somebody eats something and then before you know it, their face is all puffy.
Yeah.
Or the throat is just like, oh, I got to get to the hospital. I had an uncle one time, non-food related, hanging out. He came to pick me up from a friend's house. A friend of mine had a guinea pig, and he, like, touched the guinea pig. And then, like, before you know it, my man's looking like Kanye West after that car accident. Like, face just puffed up.
Come
just
on, Hitch.
Yeah. No, like, it was bad. I'm wow. like, Uncle Kev. He's like, I think I got to go to the hospital. I'm like, I think so. Like, it was bad. Like, allergies are
it's crazy.
Killer, man.
They really are. I'm allergic to coconut.
Oh.
And it is in every black hair product, like, ever.
Mm.
Honestly. Can't even put it in my scalp. My scalp would break out type of a deal. So when I cook coconut for anyone or anything like that, definitely double gloved.
Wow.
Can't even taste it.
Wow.
So it's just all, I hope it smells good as it tastes.
I mean, as far as eating coconut, it's whatever to me, but I feel you on the black hair products, Dr. Teal's, all that stuff, man. Like, it really is in everything. You can smell it, too. So
yeah,
I bet even when you're buying, like, body washes and stuff, too, you got to
definitely
really, really be watching out for that.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's
I live
all
with my castor oil and olive oil. If I can cook with it, I can put it
hey,
in my hair.
I hear that. There's so many good olive oils out there, though.
There, like, really is.
So for you, do you have an olive oil that you like over any other one? You shop at H-E-B? Is that your go-to? You gotta love H-E-B, man. H-E-B
Shout
be having those
H-E-B.
Deals.
They
for
do.
Real, for real.
They really do. Between there and Sam's and Sprouts, that's definitely my go-to places.
And it's, you know, being a chef, you know the difference of a $40 bottle of olive oil versus a $3 bottle of olive oil. Can you tell everybody out there, like, why you would want to spend $40 versus spending $3 on a bottle of olive oil?
The only reason why that you would want to spend more money on an olive oil is because it's a thicker, it's not so runny.
It's going to make that pasta better.
It does, it can, but then me being the BFF chef, budgeted fabulous food is what the BFF stands for, I will take that $3, you know, bottle of olive oil and make it taste like a $40 bottle of olive oil, only because you have to take what you can afford to make it better.
Bet.
Definitely.
Sounds like you are crafty.
I try to be, you know.
That's good.
You gotta be.
That's good.
That's how you make money.
You have to be. You have to be. Especially being black.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? We gotta make stuff happen.
Yep.
Have to. So, the homie, X-Rated, is here. How you doing, bro?
What's up? I'm good. What's good? Y'all good?
We good, man. We good. So, Joe bought us some food, X.
Yeah.
She was telling me about it. I told her to wait because I might mess around and eat yours.
It's warmed up enough for everything.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate this. Shit. I literally just ate too.
Sounds like you got dinner then for later.
Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna smack. Oh, I'm gonna smoke me a blunt too. Oh shit, nigga, I'm gonna be all up in this bitch, bro. It ain't gonna laugh, man. Shit, I'm gonna have this in a dessert. But I'm glad you clicked. I'm really am, cause
me
like
too.
I was telling Joe when we were texting, cause I don't think I told you this to you, but it's so funny when we first met, the vibe was there, and she was just getting into like what she does, and like she was telling me like some food recommendations and stuff like that, and I was just like, okay, bet, like I'd love to exchange info, get with you one day. She wrote down her number for me, right? Take it home, lose that motherfucker, bro. The podcast just starts going off, and I'm like, oh shit, we could have a personal chef on the fucking podcast. I can't find the number. So one day I'm just working, and she comes back in the CVS, because that's where I work currently. And I'm just like, this shit is like meant to be. Because literally the day before, I was just looking for your info. You come in, I'm like, and I came in, I think I scared you.
You kind of did, though, because yeah. I was like, yo! I was like, in the zone. I knew what
yes,
I had to get.
Yes, I was like, let me not run up on her. But
he did anyway.
That's hilarious.
Came in, tapped her on the shoulder. I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. And you're like, yeah, da-da-da. I was just like, I ain't going to lie to you. I lost your info. Can I please get it? Because our podcast is going really well, and I would love to have you on the show. And she's just like, yeah, for sure, da-da-da. And then you're here.
There we go.
With food.
There you go. Man,
everything happens for a reason.
It does.
For real. For real.
It's funny just, you know, X talking about the podcast and talking about guests. And when we first started off, like, we kind of had an idea at who we wanted to bring.
But nothing was certain.
Nothing was certain. And, you know, me and X both have jobs. And then people that we bring usually have jobs too. So sometimes it's kind of hard to just make everyone's schedule just line up. So there's been a few people that we still want to bring to the show, but we still haven't bought them. You know what I mean? And it got to a point now to where we just been really just trying to think ahead and really just make a list. Because a lot of people was just like, oh, we can bring them. We can bring them, but never really wrote it down. So finally now it's written down. People's contact information's on there.
Exactly.
So it's like anybody that I meet that potentially could come to the show, I'm not forgetting them anymore.
Exactly, bro.
That almost happened to me too, bro. That's why, like, one day I sat down and I was like, I need to really just write down all this stuff because it's just a thought.
Exactly.
At that point, you know, we got to make it into a reality.
Yeah, because I know when I first started talking to Joe, I was just like, hey, I would love to have you on the podcast. I just don't know when. Because, like, just like T said, like, nothing was for certain.
Right.
We were still trying to figure everything out. And as soon as, like I said, we got on the ground, start running, I'm like, shit, now, like, we know what we're doing. Like, we know what we want to do. And when I saw you, I was like, I don't know when we'll plan it, but I know it's going to happen. Like, it's for sure going to happen.
Well,
I'm glad. And then, too, another thing that, like, kind of came up in the beginning, it was just like, who are we, and like, why would they want to come see us?
Exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like.
But now, shit, we got a plethora of episodes.
Exactly.
We got a back catalog now.
Uh oh, come on, catalog.
And people are hitting us up to be on the show. So
you already know.
The love is there, man. Like, we definitely appreciate you coming. And like you said, the vibes are there.
Yeah.
We're actually both from Jersey, bro.
Come on, Jersey.
Yeah, man. So.
Oh shit! I knew you were from up there, the East, but I was, East Coast. But I was like, I didn't know for sure if it was New York or Jersey, but.
Jersey and Connecticut.
Shout out to Mom Dukes. I just saw her last week, man. Hey. I miss my mom already.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up, bro. That's real what's up. Dang, you trying to outdress me? Like,
I was about to say, I like that shirt. Let me have it.
Ooh, hey, hey. We'll talk about it. I might copy one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So when did you actually start calling yourself a personal chef?
Maybe about a year now.
About a year now?
I would have to say. I just kept getting asked by, you know, neighbors, family, friends, things like that. Hey, will you come and cook for us? Or would you drop something by? Things like that. So I would honestly have to say my best taste testers and everything are my folks. I thank them very much.
And they're not going to lie to you either.
No,
they
won't.
They're not going to lie to you.
Definitely. Because my mom will look at me dead in the face and be like, so, Jovan, this was salty. You just put a little too much. Thanks, Mom.
Now I'm salty, Mom. Thank
you. Like, you need that honesty because,
definitely.
Like, if you don't have it, then what do you have, you know?
Right.
Because they're going to be lying to you. Like, I'm opening up my restaurant today.
And the next thing you know,
Why did you tell me this was salty, Mom? Why?
Right?
Exactly. Like, you're going to think you have a 5-star idea. It's going to be a 1-star on Yelp. Like,
I just pray that isn't salty, though.
Hey. Nah, I'm sure it's straight. But
I'm waiting for y'all to take that.
Hey, speaking of.
I'm going to like it regardless.
Yeah, I know I will, too. I'm a fat ass.
So, same.
But speaking of, though, I know your parents had a restaurant, and now you're a personal chef. Have you thought about opening up your own restaurant or possibly like a food truck or something?
Actually, food truck is definitely goal.
Okay.
I so would love to have a food truck and just bring certain foods to certain people. You know what I mean? Any kind of people. I don't mean like certain. You have to be a certain kind of
person. Yeah.
We know exactly what you mean.
But definitely, food truck is goal.
So my thing is, like, you were talking about the question before last, how people, your neighbors, family were just starting to ask you to cook. Was being a personal chef a personal goal? Or, like, did you plan on that? Or did it just kind of happen?
No, my degrees are in theater.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I also have one in sign language interpreting. So,
nice.
Food wasn't even, like, my plan. I did theater for years. I did the regional premiere of Color Purple up in the Dallas area playing Sophia. I've done Dreamgirls, things like that.
That's
like,
dope.
Musical theater was my life. That's what I was going to go down. But when I was up at college, my friends would come over on, we had like wine Wednesdays or whatnot.
Okay.
And I would cook for them and we would get a little tipsy, eat some food. And then they started saying, you know, like all the time, like, will you cook more for us? Will you do this for us? Will you do that? You know, different parties and things like that. And so that's when I started to really gain my love for food. Because to be honest, the only thing I really cooked was cornbread until I turned 21 and moved out.
Wow. Hey, that's
what's
up.
And that's when I had to learn how to really cook for myself. It was a lot of phone calls to dad. Hey, how long does this boil for? Grandma, how long do I do this for? Yada, yada, yada. And then from there, I was able to figure out my dad. He actually told me, he said, I want you to sit there and think about all these different flavors in your mouth and if they go together. Because if you can think that they go together and they actually don't in your mouth, then you know that's not what you're supposed to use. Oh, like, man. With something else. So.
That's some A1 advice right there.
Definitely.
I like that. I really like that.
Her pop's owning a restaurant, so, you know, putting her on game.
Like, yeah.
That's, for real. That's dope.
He definitely told me, he's like, if it tastes good in your mouth, it'll taste good in somebody else's, hopefully.
I feel that. I know y'all already talked about the whole weight loss journey, but I don't know if you asked the question yet, but is it hard keeping down that weight being a personal chef?
Yes, because tasting food as you go is what you're supposed to do. So I limit myself. If I'm tasting food and I'm cooking for someone, I'm not going to eat later on that night type of a deal because I basically got that meal within me already as I was going along. But weight loss and food, working with food, you kind of don't want to eat sometimes. If you're cooking, you know, a big portion for a lot of people, things like that, you kind of don't get hungry.
I mean, I could feel that in a sense because actually my cousin back in high school, she used to work with McDonald's and she used to like love going to McDonald's. But it's like after working there, she's just like, you know what? Like I'm around it all day. Like it makes me not even want to eat other fast food since I'm just there so much. So I can see where you're coming from for that. But that's dope. Shout out to Jay Soldier because we got another jack of all trades in the building.
Hey, episode 10. I definitely feel you on that also, too, because there's been a lot of times where I've been growing up and I asked my mom, like, yo, why aren't you eating? And sometimes she's like, oh, I ate already, like, while I was cooking. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot. Like, if you're preparing, like, a big meal, definitely making some chicken here and there. Oh, let me have, like, a few chicken legs. And that's how my mama Vita used to be, too, have her napkin with her two chicken legs, like, as she was cooking and stuff, you know. So it's definitely common. You're eating, like, as you're cooking.
Right.
And then by the time you don't want to. You're standing up already, just trying to knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
definitely.
I had the benefit, like, when my mom was cooking, because, like, obviously, if I'm not there, she'll eat the food. But, like, if I'm there, she'll be like, hey, taste this for me. I'm like, oh, bet, you know.
Yes.
Make sure
I love having
good.
Taste testers around.
Exactly.
Because how I feel about something might not be how someone else feels, and then I can go from that in-between point, so.
Exactly. Good?
No, I'm good, bro.
Oh.
I'm good.
Like, y'all should just take a test. I'm just saying.
I'm dead.
Take a test?
Uh-huh, take a test.
Oh, you talking about the food?
Uh-huh. Oh, shit. You know what? Might as well.
Like a test of like, what? Like, what are you trying to test our knowledge on?
Nope.
Okay. So you want to tell our listeners what we're about to taste?
So what they're about to taste is a salmon fettuccine alfredo with some shrimp. And I shredded and folded the salmon within the alfredo sauce. Mm. So that hopefully every bite, you get a bite of salmon.
It's fire. It's fire. I need to stop because we're not even going to do the podcast anymore. I'm just going to eat.
Here's a napkin.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
It's so good. I'm eating this later.
I'm glad. No,
I got to stop myself.
I'm eating it later.
I'm going to take one more bite, though.
It's about to be fire.
I'm going to take one more
it's
bite,
It's going
though.
Down. Oh, my 12 God. 12 o'clock ball drop.
Oh, my okay. God, bro.
It is going
so
down.
So I guess being a chef is an okay thing, though.
Hey, oh, no. Speaking
that,
of.
No, that's amazing.
You know, it's funny that you said that. You talk about your brother. My brother's a chef, too.
That's what's up.
He's actually a pastry chef, but he's also, like, a regular chef, too. He went to TCA, Texas Culinary Academy, for pastry chef. But, I mean, my man Dave be cooking his ass off. Shout out to Chef.
Come chef on, Dave, chef. Boy.
What up, bro?
Hey, one time for him. Owee! My nigga, it's so funny because he was actually going to be our first chef on the show. But you know what? We already had him on the show, and we plan on having him again. So, but it's all, like I said, it's all good vibes.
Well, hopefully, y'all want me again one
day. I mean, hey, we would love to do a topic episode with you.
For sure, man. We tell everybody we'd love to have everybody come back, just kick it with them, and just have like a regular conversation.
Exactly.
So,
well, even if I just come to feed y'all,
that's cool too. Like I said, we love the positive vibes all around. Like it don't even matter. Like, shout out to Zoe. I know he hasn't. He's still doing his own thing. But, like, even when he brought his brother, I think that was episode 3, 4 or something.
Nah, bro. That was the last,
that was, like,
5.
Oh, that was.
All over the place. Like,
That's
when we were in the wood room. And
yes.
It's so funny, though. Just side note, like, we made episode 5. Like, we got done. And I was like, bro, I don't really like this episode. I don't like this shit at all. And then, because I remember we were making it, and I was like, bro, I just want to be done already. Like, I'm ready to do the next one. I think... Yeah, I was just so done with that episode. Like, I just was not feeling it.
But the whole time, I was telling them, because, like, I was listening to everything we were saying. I don't know what it was that day. I was probably high, no cap. But but no lie, the whole time, because not just T. Cole, but Zoe felt the same way. He was like, nah, man, I felt like this episode was a little weak. But the whole time, just like, no, this is actually a fire-ass episode.
Okay. It was good. Like, going back and listening to it again, like, when I edited it and I put it out, I was like, man... It's not as bad as I thought.
Exactly.
Nah, it wasn't.
It wasn't like one of our best, but it was like, I was telling them it's a lot better than what they thought it was. So
okay.
I think it was a pretty good episode.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to check that out then.
Nah, please, please do.
Oh, so many better ones like, besides that one.
one through 19. One through 19.
Now 19, my favorite number now, so.
Hey.
What was it? That was just the one T. Cole just dropped by himself.
Well, shout out to Key, man.
Yeah.
What? She came through.
I was so sad because I was sick when... he had recorded that episode, but I don't think I told you, but I love that episode.
Like, bro, I was so excited. We gotta get back to Joe after this.
we do.
This is all about Joe. But, you know, I was telling you before we even did it how excited I was to do her episode because we just love music. So I knew when we did it, it was going to be dope because I talked about it in the episode. She has an art exhibit coming up, and I... took pictures for her art exhibit.
Yeah, I heard
that. And we legit talked for like 45 minutes, an hour, like just chilling. It was just me, her, and the photographer. So I already knew, like when I brought her on the show, it was going to be a fire episode.
Yeah, bro. And like,
I'm glad you liked it, though.
You even said, I wish X was here because like I know he would have some stuff. And there was so much shit
I already knew,
bro.
She has to come back again.
She does.
She has
to come
back again. Shout out to Key.
Yeah.
But Joe, so switching stuff up a little bit, everybody that comes to the show, we always ask them their top 5 rappers or your personal 5, like people you like to listen to.
Like,
you're not a big rap fan, we understand.
I'm not.
It's okay. So who are...
Do you have top 5 artists in general?
There you go.
Yeah.
People that you like to listen to.
I'm like, ooh, see, that's just difficult. I would have to go with who I used to look like in my big days. Number 1 is Joe Scott.
Okay.
Okay.
Joe is always a love.
Jelly from Philly.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. So there's Jill, there's Chrisette Michelle. I'm a huge, huge fan of Chaka Khan.
Like, hey, okay.
Chaka all day.
Also some Chaka Khan.
See, I'm old school a little bit, so I want to say that's like fine, Luther yeah. and Patty.
Shout
like,
out to Luther.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You know why I'm laughing. Oh, God. Hey, shout out to Key.
Key know why we laughing, too. That's funny.
Oh, shit.
But then I grew up in the church, too, so then I love my gospel artists, like from Mary Mary to, what's his name, Smokey?
Yeah.
Smokey Norville and all of them. So I kind of have, like, that soulful type of feel with my music. But then when it goes to my rappers, it's Biggie all day.
Facts. You're dead wrong.
All day.
I don't know, like, maybe it's because I'm from the East Coast, but, like, I just like Biggie so much more than Pac. Like, Pac is dope.
Yeah, he is.
But
like, I get
Biggie all day, like, he was super smooth. The wordplay all day was always going to be nice. Like, come on. My man said he get more butt than ashtrays.
Come on,
bro.
Hey, man. Don't get me wrong. I fucks with Biggie heavy, but Tupac all day, bro. Tupac all day.
I feel you, bro. There's a lot of people that feel that way.
There really
we're real
is.
Close to
but
the
it's
West.
Like, They're both so great. You can't be mad at either choice, you know?
Nah, you can't.
Like, just appreciate both their music. Like, that's what it's all about. So.
It's just sad we couldn't really see them, like, what they were going to do after from what they had right now.
Because, like, you look at it now, like, Eminem was started in, like, the 90s, was in the 2000s, the 2010s, starting off the 2020s. Like, we've seen him in four different, what is it? Could you say eras for decades?
Decades a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, four different eras, decades, whatever you want to call it. Bro, imagine if Tupac and Biggie rapped in the 2000s. Like,
what if
do
Aaliyah
you think we would have?
I think Aaliyah would overthrow Beyonce right now, to be honest.
Oh my gosh.
You think about Aaliyah, she danced, she singed. I mean, Beyonce would still be big, but I feel like with Aaliyah kind of dropping off, it really opened up the door for Beyonce to kind of just take over. Because R.I.P. Kobe, man. Just thinking about Kobe. Just we're going to have a show. Well, y'all will already hear that show before this one comes out.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking about when Aaliyah died, I was probably in like 7th or 8th grade, and she died in a plane crash too.
Yeah.
And I remember when she died, and it was really, really sad when she died, bro. Like, because she was hitting her peak, bro. She was hitting her peak.
Come
I don't know.
That rocked the boat.
You know? And what's up with her uncle not putting her stuff on streaming platforms yet? Like, I thought it was going to drop in January.
Thank
what happened
you.
To that? They said that to us last summer. I mean, last year. I'm still waiting. Because she had her and DMX. I bet they probably could have made a whole album together.
To be honest, yeah.
They could have made a whole album together.
And I bet
their songs
been
were fire.
So nice.
More than
like,
one.
Back in one
you
piece.
Think so?
Yeah.
Back in one piece.
I'll say a good one
that's
and
one,
a half.
That's one of my favorite songs from Aaliyah and X, man.
Shit.
Yes.
Back in one piece was my shit.
I feel you.
Man, R.I.P. Aaliyah, R.I.P. Kobe, and R.I.P. everybody that was on that helicopter last week, man.
I would agree.
Gianna.
Bro, quick shout out to our brown people, bro, but another person who left too soon was Selena, bro. I don't know if y'all ever listened to her music.
Yeah. And she got murdered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. By her own, what was it? Family. She was a family friend, but she was like the financial counselor or accountant for Selena's profits and shit like that, bro. But
she
man,
was also
money
like
is
ahead of her fan club or whatnot.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, she was doing all that, man. Like, it's so funny. Like, you do so much for so many people, and you never know who can just turn around and
take you out.
Exactly.
Get your hand out of my pocket. No, Malcolm. You know what I mean?
Stupid.
Shit. It's a damn shame.
I
it
keep
really,
my
really
pocket
is.
Sewed up.
Ah. I feel that.
I feel that.
Well, shit.
You got it, bro.
You sure? Okay. So, fuck it. Let's change the topic again. I know you said you're from the East, from Jersey, with my homeboy T. How's your Austin experience been since getting here?
Yo, okay. So, when I first moved to Texas, I mean, I've been here for a minute. I've been here since 07.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Fall of 07, since okay. August. That's crazy.
I went to boarding school in high school. So, when I finished high school, then, like, my parents already moved here. I moved here, the next year or whatnot. I called my homeboy. I was actually walking down the street of Austin. And people were actually looking me in my face as we were walking by. And
that's
I
was so like, different, right?
I was like, wait, what?
People saying hi to
yes!
you? That's they don't
totally
do that up
different.
Top. They don't not do
at all.
That.
Like, I went to a store and the person was actually helpful. They weren't just asking me to follow me around and see yeah. if I was going to take something. No, they actually were like, genuinely, may I help you?
That's that Southern so hospitality.
Definitely. I had to call my homeboy back home. I was like, yo, so Justin, I need you right now to just say all the mean stuff you can to me. Because these people are way too nice. Like, I just dropped off in a whole different planet. I don't understand this. Like, I've been to the South before. But, like, nah, Texas, I was like, y'all are too nice here. This is weird. That's why I had to move to Dallas for a little bit. They got a little attitude.
Hey, can I get a yurt from you real quick?
Yurt?
No, you got a better one than that. Give me an East Coast yurt. I know you got it.
Stupid,
T.
You
got it. Stupid.
I ain't heard it in so long.
Hey. I can't even. I can't even.
Oh, man.
Like, hey, don't let that man peer pressure.
It's not like I asked her to sing.
Hey. I mean.
Hey, you got vocals? You got vocals?
You know that's what they make me do. I play and sing at church on Sundays and stuff.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to put her out there like that. She brought us food.
I was actually singing For Your Glory before I came up in this spot.
Bro, I was dead ass about the jack of all trades. I see you. That's dope, though. That's dope.
God doesn't just give one gift. He gives many.
Exactly.
You just have to tap into that talent.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And show that you really want it.
Yeah. You got to water those plants.
Yeah, because after our podcast blows up, we starting a TV show. So,
look at that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's going to happen. Speaking 2020 takeover.
You're also looking at a playwright, too. But I'm just saying, if y'all need help with any of that, too,
bet.
I got you.
Bet,
I
bet,
know
bet.
Who to call. Bet. I definitely know who to call.
That's dope. That's dope.
So being in Austin... You've been here for just about almost 13 years.
Yeah.
How do you feel the Black experience has been in Austin?
Honestly, there's been a lot of shade.
Okay.
When it comes to the workforce and stuff like that, because I used to work at Austin Community College and stuff like that. And it's like the Black folks in that area, shall I say. They'll look and smile at you in your face and act like everything's okay, but then anytime you make a mistake or whatnot, they're going to go right over to the white man and tell them, like, hey, this one messed up, this one did this, this did that. So I kind of felt like they haven't had my back, kind of like my East Coasters do. But then also, like, out back on the East Coast, if we don't like somebody, we kind of just tell you we don't like you.
Same.
And we don't hang out with you.
Yeah.
And so out here, they don't do that. They'll just smile in your face and, like, still be all nice and cordial and everything with you. But then, no, I don't like that. I'm kind of like, if you don't like me, let me know you don't like me.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't have to waste my time being
exactly.
around you.
Exactly. I'm the same way. Like, I can't do that phony shit. Like, if I can be 100% honest with you, I expect you to be the same with me. Like, why not? You know?
The only thing fake about me is my hair, so.
Hey.
Siobhan J. Collection?
No, just kidding. Episode 16.
Bro, we killing it with these interviews, man. Oh, my gosh. Shout out to everybody who's been on the show. Like, whether you did an interview or you just kicked it with us, man. Like, y'all don't know how much y'all made the show so much better. Especially you bringing us this food. Like, no cap to everybody else, but Joe might be my personal favorite because, you know, she brought some food, but, you know.
Siobhan bought you a do-rag.
She did, but Siobhan don't know I don't use do-rags.
Same.
But I still got that hoe, and I'm not getting rid of it, man. Cause like
I hung it up.
Exactly. Like, even though I'm not going to use it, like, that's a personal gift. Like, she went out her way. She didn't have to do
that. Was
like,
dope, though.
She could have used that and sold it to somebody.
Bro.
Man.
I mean, mine will be gone.
Side story, though. Side story. So I'm telling my mom, I'm like, yeah, I had this one woman on my podcast. She sells hair, da-da-da-da. I was like, here, Mom, look at it. She's like, oh, I like this one. Oh, I guess everybody else likes it, too. It's sold out. I was like, well, let me click on it real quick. She's like, $300. She's like, I still got to pay $200 to get it put in.
Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, shit. Bro, I'm that shit's stupid funny.
Oh,
oh
man.
Oh, God. That's
funny.
I might have to hook my mom up with it. Once it's back in stock.
Yeah.
For real. Hey, like, I got you on the hair, Mom. You just got to pay to get it put in.
Hey, at least you're doing something.
You know what I mean?
$300.
That's my car note right there. Like, damn. And I asked her, I said, $300, how long are you going to have it in for?
Nigga.
Like, that's the first question that I have to ask.
I'm done.
Like, you better wear this all year.
You better wash that and
300
put it back
days
in.
At least.
She was like, I'll stick to the $50 one. I was like, hey, I feel you. I feel you. You still look good, Mom. You still look good.
See, those are the ones you throw in the trash afterwards.
Yeah.
That $300, you wash it and you put that right back
hanging,
up in there.
What is it? The little heads, you hang it on, uh-huh. Make sure, you know, put it in a little case. You, like,
Siobhan
you
got that from a horse personally.
Exactly. She was like,
nah, I don't know that. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
I was about to go with it and be like, she was on a farm. Bro, let me stop.
That's funny. That's what I was thinking about when I said it, too.
I feel you. I knew we was on the same page.
But, that's hilarious.
Another question for you. I'm sorry. I think this is a great episode. But going back to Austin, is there one thing you've noticed about the city that you wish you could change or be more of an influence in?
Our homeless issue. Definitely. I actually try to go out, if I'm not cruising for Christmas or whatever like that, go out and feed the homeless. The place that I used to work at, though they closed down right now, Crack of Dawn and Donuts, Michelle, our donuts and things like that, we were able to give out at the end of the day. And I would literally just drive up and down the streets of Austin, find homeless folks, hop out my car and feed them. Because I believe everybody should be fed. I don't like seeing anyone hungry. So
that's fire. That's real dope that you're doing that. And it's, you only just took a little bit of your time. They didn't even have to really spend any money. You just took a little bit of your time, you know? And time is a very precious thing. You know, you don't want to waste anyone's time, but you know, you're looking out for others to make sure they can eat. So shout out to Joe.
Thank
you. Yeah, for real. It's so funny you say that because shout out to Brock. He's our audience member. You know, we don't do that too often, but when we do, we let it be known. But it's so funny because, like, we were talking about this earlier about, like, the homeless issue. Like, I was just telling him a story how I had met this guy or whatever, and he was just like, it sucks because nobody looks at us. Like, nobody noticed us. And Ramses said that on episode 9?
Yeah, I believe it was 9.
It was like 9 or 11.
Nah, I think it's 11, bro, because Ashley was 8.
Yeah,
nine,
yeah,
I mean.
Okay,
yeah.
So shout out to Ramses. That was another great fire episode. But
the most underrated episode.
Honestly.
By far, bro.
Man, shout out to Ramses, bro, for real. You know what? Let me stop getting off topic. But we were just talking about how, like, these days, these people, they just want to be seen. Like, they don't care if you give them money. Like, don't get me wrong, they appreciate it. And that's obviously why they're out there, because they need money to survive, like to eat and shit. But it's like, at the end of the day, like, some of them just want to be noticed. And
definitely.
One day I had met a homeless dude and I talked to him and we chopped it because, you know, Austin traffic is horrible. I was in traffic for about 30 minutes one morning. I was doing Instacart before I went to work when I was living in Austin. But talked to this dude. I was just like, yeah, man, you good? He was just like, yeah, man, thanks for keeping me company, I know I'm out here asking for money. I was like, what do you need? What are you about to use it for? He's like, I just need $20. I'm trying to get a hotel and take a shower. Like, I haven't taken a shower since I got out of jail. I was like, you're in jail? He was like, yeah, man, the system don't want to see us succeed. And he was a white man, too. So I was like, damn, where your white privilege at? But
you're stupid.
But on some real shit, I was like, you know what? Like, I was going to give him money regardless. But, like, when he told me that, he was like, yeah, I'm really trying to, like, go into somewhere and try to see if they'll give me an interview. Like, I want a job. I'm like, okay, right. Cool. So I was like, how much you need for that hotel again? He was like, just $20. But you know what? I feel like if I don't make it to by the weekend, I'll make it by this time next week. I was like, man, fuck that, man. Here's $20. Go take that shower. Enjoy yourself. Live your life.
Definitely.
And remember, you are still a gift from God. Like, I don't know what you went to jail for. That's in the past. But, like, you're out. Do something with your life now. And, like, and if you can't, like, at least be able to enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And we all have something to live for.
Definitely.
So. Well said.
Thank you.
Very well said.
I just like to feed the bellies.
Man, for a second there, when you were telling that story, I was like, man, I know this nigga not about to tell this pizza story again.
Nah. Different story.
But hey, you had another homeless story.
Exactly, man. Like, because being in Austin, that's all we see. Like, they're everywhere. So it's like, and me being the person I am, it's like, I always want to, if I can, I always want to help people. If I can't, I know I can't, but if I can, why not, you know? I got homeless stories for days.
Though I got this one homeless story. This lady I know, so... We worked together with Nas. She went out for lunch, and she noticed the dude. You know, he had a sign, I'm hungry, whatever. And so she went right over, turned around, got the dude a burger, brought him the burger, and was like, here, you said you were hungry. He threw it back at her. And said, just wanted the money.
I've heard of that plenty of times.
I've never heard of that.
And that's messed up. And that's really, really messed up. Because sometimes, if you say you're hungry and somebody gives you food, eat it.
Yeah.
Don't be ungrateful.
Right.
You just want to get high? Come on, bro. Like, tell me you want to get high. Maybe I'll give you $10.
Right.
Exactly.
Honesty is key.
If you say that, like, bro, it's been one of those days. I got you, my nigga.
Like, real shit. I saw a nigga with a sign, bro. He legit had straight up had a sign. I just want some beer and some cigarettes, bro. Nobody was giving him money. I was like, nigga, I fucks with your honesty alone.
Thank you.
I seen a sign once, bro. My man was switching his signs, like. And, like, I can't remember exactly what they all said. He was like, anything helps. And he flipped it again. Even a joint. And then he flipped it again. I'll even take a doobie. I'm like, my man. I was like, okay. At least he's being honest,
for
bro.
For real, man. Right?
At least
for real.
He's being honest.
I feel like honesty is one of the most underrated. Like, everybody wants honesty, but, like, don't
they don't know how to give them it.
Exactly. And then even if they do know how to give, they don't know how to receive it. So,
True.
Taking feedback almost as a skill.
Yeah.
Because everybody can't take feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want it, but they don't want to hear it, though.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it. People get mad. You know, some people say, you know, oh, you're talking shit. It's not talking shit if you're trying to tell somebody so they can benefit themselves, so they can be better, because they want to be better. And if you're trying to help somebody be better and you're constantly telling somebody, hey, what about this? What about this? But they just take it as you're talking shit. It's not talking shit if we're in this together and I'm trying to help you, take my advice so you could be better.
Yeah.
I'm not talking shit. I'm just trying to make you better. That's all I'm trying to do.
Just like you moms with the salt.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, for real though.
For real, for real.
So
do you have any big events that you ever cater? Do you ever cater any big events? I know you talked about the church.
No, I actually haven't really catered any large events, except for, you know, with my dad and his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I accept the challenge. The most I fed was about six.
Okay.
A family of six or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was a grouping of six people.
Okay.
They weren't all camp folk. But definitely. And I totally would want to do that.
Just a random question. Do you ever, like, have help when you're cooking for other people, or you just do everything by yourself?
X is asking if you need a sous chef.
Oh, well, if you like your fingers, don't be. No. Because I always get cut, burnt, or something every time I cook.
Okay, then. Let me stay away. No, I'm just...
No, I usually do everything by myself because the way that my mind works, I have ADD. So same, I'll move from one thing to another thing to another thing and just be moving a whole lot to where, like, I can't really have too many people up in the kitchen with me unless I ask you, hey, can you do this for me?
Yeah.
Then definitely. But mostly it's by myself. That's why food truck goal, because then it could just be me.
You don't think that'd be too much for you?
No. I could have somebody do a register or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
but as far as, like, the cooking and everything, you could do... Oh, shit, my bad. You think... You think you could do everything for yourself?
Definitely.
For the most part?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's got it down pat.
Yeah.
I mean, I do everything from a plan, a list, and a schedule. So if everything falls in line, then it should all hopefully make your belly happy.
I feel that. I'm ready to tear into a little bit more of this, but I'm gonna control myself. I'm gonna contain myself like this container. You feel me?
Come on, contain.
So I got one more question for you.
Okay.
Don't know if you're a football fan, but do you have a pick for the Super Bowl?
I don't even know who's playing.
Ah, damn.
I'm not from Texas.
Texas left the chat.
Like, who's playing though?
She said, I don't even know who's playing.
I've been invited to a few parties that I don't have to cook at. I have to always say that. Because anytime anyone asks
up.
Me somewhere.
You get invited, but you're just there, you're just there to cook. That's rough.
Oh, shit.
Well, it's Chiefs 49ers. They're playing.
Okay.
So by the time everybody hears this, we will know a winner. I want the Chiefs to win, but I think the Niners are going to win.
See, my sister's a 49ers fan, so I'm going to have to go with the 49ers since my team didn't make it. And again, I don't really watch football, but I am an Eagles fan because I'm from South Jersey.
Ew.
I know. It's okay.
I'm a Cowboys fan.
I look good in green.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see you. Like, I literally see you. Like, you're right in front of me. No, I'm fucking with you. Well, okay, I feel that. I'm a Cowboys fan, so.
Okay.
But you being an Eagles fan, that's not going to fuck this up. I still fuck with you. So
okay,
we good. Except on Sundays.
That's fine. I'm at church on those days anyway.
So,
anybody wants to enlist in your services and they want to hire Happy Joe Lucky, a.k.a. the BFF chef,
yes,
where can they find you?
They can actually find me on Instagram at Happy Joe Lucky BFF Chef, or you can find me on my Instagram, which is happy_joe_lucky_9.
She killed me with
and
the underscore.
We will definitely put that in the description so y'all
yes.
know.
Yes.
Everyone listens probably not going to remember that.
But definitely we'll Happy Joe Lucky, your BFF Chef. And the BFF stands for Budgeted Fabulous Food.
So. Ooh.
Balling on a budget.
Yes. You have to be gourmet on a dime.
Oh, my God. Joe, like, you don't understand how much I fucks with you. Like, you are so dope. Like,
I'm just me. That's all.
Stop. Killing me. You're killing me.
Making him blush.
Nah.
Like, I'm loving everything you have to say because, like, doing podcasting, you got to be able to talk, and you do that very well.
You probably would have loved the first 30 minutes even more if you weren't late.
Ooh.
I know I will, but guess what?
That traffic,
there's
though.
This thing called Spotify
nah,
where you can actually listen to the
episode. Nah, man. Joe. I'm not trying to hear that about traffic. We on episode 20. X knows Austin has traffic, so I'm not trying to hear that shit. Fuck that. No one's coming to his defense. My nigga was late the last time we came, so you can't be late the following time. And this is your guest, so I'm getting on your ass so all our fans can fucking hear this shit.
He said no CP time.
Nah, bro. Nah. And my man said, I was already in Austin. My man, you speaking too much, bro. You speaking too much.
Hey, man.
But hey.
One thing about me, just like we were just saying, I'm always honest. Yeah, I did fucking
always honest and always late. So one time for the one time. Oh, yeah.